I'm going to ask you please to turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. And we pick up tonight where we left off this morning. We're going to be looking tonight at verses 9 and 10. But we read beginning with the 8th verse. We'll read down to verse 15. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 8. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for this time we have now around your word. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that you've made yourself known to us, and you've made your will known to us. And so we ask you tonight, Lord, to teach us your truth. Strengthen us, Lord, to be able to receive the things that you know we need to learn. Correct us, Lord, where our thinking or our attitudes or our actions or are in error. And Lord, put our feet on a pathway that is right and safe. I pray for anyone in this place tonight who doesn't know you. Lord, I ask that in your mercy and grace, in your great love, in your amazing love, that Lord, you would open their understanding to their true condition. And by your Spirit, draw them to your Son Jesus and save them. We ask you this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Does it really matter how a person dresses? Does it really matter what a person wears? That's a question that I think God's people often struggle to answer in a way that's right and biblical. It seems like we tend to one extreme or the other. There are some who seem to focus on externals in a way that doesn't recognize that what is on the outside of the cup is not the first priority. And I just want to say tonight that it is not the first priority. Show me someone who focuses more on external things than on matters of the heart, and I'll show you someone who lacks an understanding of how God works in the lives of people and what is most important to God. The work that God is doing in our lives, beloved, it's an inside-out operation, isn't it? It begins in the heart. It affects all of our life. But it begins in the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. When Samuel was looking for the Lord's anointed and was looking at David's brother, the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And that's a good word for us, isn't it, to remember? Because we can sometimes become fixated on external things, and we forget that God looks first and foremost at the heart. But then there are people on the other end of the spectrum who say, well, then it makes no difference at all how we dress. I mean, what's on the outside isn't that important. We shouldn't judge people based upon the way that they look. In fact, there have been Christians, professing Christians at least, who have tried to excuse the most bizarre kinds of appearances in the name of reaching the culture with the gospel. Why do we dress like this? Why do we engage in all the things we engage in? All kinds of body piercings and all the rest. Well, we're doing this to reach the culture with the gospel. And after all, we are wrong to judge people based upon how they look. So there are those who focus almost exclusively on the outside, and there are those who say it doesn't matter at all. And I believe that if we really listen to the two verses we're going to be looking at tonight, both groups of people would be corrected. What the Holy Spirit gives us here is corrective both to someone who would focus almost exclusively on the outside and to the person who would say it doesn't matter at all. Paul's addressing the roles of men and women in the public gathering of the church. He's calling for order. He's calling for an order that reflects the Creator's purpose and that will serve as an apologetic for the gospel. We talked about it this morning, that our testimony is meant to be a living testimony. The church witnesses not just by what we declare, but by how we live. And both men and women are called to submit to God, and in ways that produce humility. Men are called upon in verse 8 to pray. Women are called upon in the verses that follow to focus on what is beautiful in the sight of God. And so tonight I want us to focus on what the Bible has to say about women and worship, and specifically, Christian ladies, how you ought to be taking care with respect to your appearance. Now, what I want to do with these two verses, verses 9 and 10, is I want to take the truth that we have here and I just want to give it to you in principle form. I think sometimes it's the easiest way to get a hold of what the Bible's teaching is just to principalize it and take hold of a few principles. And so there are three that I want to pass on tonight. And the first principle would be this. Before we do that, though, let's look again at verses 9 and 10. Read it with me. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. All right, the first principle is this. Christian women should think Christianly about their appearance. Christian women should think Christianly, I may have just invented a word, but that's okay, about their appearance. That is, you ought to be thinking about, ladies, you ought to be thinking about your appearance in light of your relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, if we don't learn anything else from these two verses, it would be this, that Christian women ought to be giving thought about what they put on. If you agree with that, would you say amen? Amen? They ought to be giving thought about what they put on. Christian women ought to be giving thought as to their appearance. And I think we could even make it more specific. You ought to be giving thought about how you look when you arrive for public worship. Because that's the setting here. That's the context. So I would just simply ask, as we get started tonight, ladies, are you doing that? I mean, before you come to church on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday evening, do you actually give thought as to what you're putting on? And do you ask whether what you're putting on is appropriate for a woman who professes to love Jesus Christ? What you put on, is it appropriate for a woman who professes godliness? But as we talked about this morning, what happens in our church gathering ought to be consistent with what we actually believe and what we strive to live every day. And so you can't just say that Christian women ought to think about what they put on before they come to worship. We also must say Christian women ought to be thinking Christianly about what they wear every day. When you go to your favorite store to do your clothes shopping, do you look at those clothes? Do you think about what you're going to purchase? And do you think about it in terms of your Christian testimony? If I buy this, if I wear this, will this tell the truth about my relationship to God, my relationship to Jesus Christ? What I'm about to wear today as I leave my house to go to school or to go out and do whatever it is I'm going to do, as I leave my home, does what I have on, does it tell the truth if I say I am a woman who is pursuing godliness? Is this consistent with that? So that's the first principle. Christian women ought to be thinking about this. And I really think sometimes this is where we fall short in all areas of the Christian life. We just don't think about these things. We don't think about them as much as we should. We don't meditate on these things. We don't even consider it. So I would begin there. Are you even considering these things regularly as a practice? There's a second principle. Not only should Christian women be thinking about this, second, Christian women should actually be taking care with their appearance. So I begin by the thought, you know, what kind of dress would reflect godliness? Then I actually have to begin to evaluate that. And I have to make choices consistent with what I see in the Word of God and what I believe to be a standard of godliness. And there are several things that emerge as we think about this. Ladies actually working this out, actually beginning to practice this. There are a few things we learn here. The first thing we learn is this is a personal responsibility. Look again at verse 9. Likewise also that women should adorn, the word there is themselves. It's a reflexive pronoun. That is this, ladies, this is your responsibility as a Christian woman. You are to adorn yourself in a way that's fitting. Her husband does not make this decision. He doesn't dress her. Other women don't tell her how to dress. That is not to say that a husband's concern ought not to be listened to and that he doesn't have some influence there. That is not to say that a godly woman who might come to you with concern, you ought to just dismiss them and take lightly what they share with you. I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is this is each Christian woman's personal responsibility. Ladies, you have a responsibility to weigh and to consider and to make choices in light of what we're seeing in these verses tonight. Individually, that's your job. So she adorns herself. And as she adorns herself, there is a physical standard to be aimed at. I mean, we do have some guidance here. You know, if you were to ask, well, what kind of attire would speak of godliness? Well, he gives us some guidance here. He says, first of all, you are to adorn yourself. Verse 9, women should adorn themselves. And that word adorn, that verb, has to do with the word cosmos. It's related to that word. And that word has to do with order. Just as the world, cosmos, just as the world reflects order and beauty and purpose, so the attire of a godly woman is to reflect order and beauty and a sense of godly purpose. Robert Gromacki commenting on this particular word, he says, the world, as the planned creation of God, reveals beauty, purpose, design, and order. Everything was in its proper place, fulfilling its assigned function. This verb is also used of the garnishing of sepulchres, the furnishing of a house. Got to finish the quote here. The trimming of oil lamps, the embellishment of the temple, and the beautification of the holy city, Revelation 21:19. So, organization, order is the idea. And then if you look at verse 9, he also says, women should adorn themselves, should order themselves in respectable apparel. And it's interesting, but the word respectable there, some versions have, I think it has modest, some versions do, but this word respectable also has to do with the word cosmos. So it's almost a play on words here. You ought to adorn yourself in attire that speaks of adornment. You ought to order yourself in a way that speaks of order. Respectable clothing is that which is suitable for the occasion. Plain, orderly, beautiful. Vines, talking about this word, says this. By the use of this word, Paul indicates that the adornment of the Christian woman should be one in which order, not disorder, obtains. And this orderliness must not extend merely to the relationship of the various articles of wearing apparel to one another, but also to the relationship of that apparel to her Christian character and testimony. In other words, the apparel must be fitting to and consistent with what she is as a child of God. So as you dress, you're looking for order, that which is appropriate, that which is fitting, but not just how the garments work together, but what these garments say about your character. What these garments portray about your heart condition. Has anybody ever seen a situation where someone is not doing well spiritually and it begins to show up on the outside? You see, it does, doesn't it? In some cases. There's no doubt the external appearance can be deceptive. But it is true to say that what goes on in a person's heart is eventually exposed, sometimes through what we say, but it doesn't just stop there. It can be expressed in many different ways, including the way you dress. So he's calling for order, organization, and it's consistent with the character of a godly woman, which gets to the next thing he mentions. He says, likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty. The King James Version has shamefacedness. Because this word does have in it a sense of shame. The only other place it's used in the New Testament, it speaks of reverence. So the idea isn't one of personal shame. This isn't, you know, you're ashamed of yourself and women wear veils. That's not the idea. No, shame in the sense of you are not dressing with the intention being to draw attention to yourself. Reverence, respectable, dignified is the idea. A dignified appearance. You know, you've heard someone talk about someone who dresses in a loud fashion. And when someone says that that person has dressed in a loud fashion, what do they mean? It's bizarre, right? I mean, it's noticeable. It's out there. Everyone focuses on them. Well, especially think about this. As you come to worship, where is our focus to be? Do we want to dress in a way that the focus is on us? Or have we come to worship with our focus on God? We don't come to worship to focus on us. We come to worship to focus on God. And so when he's talking about dressing with reverence or with dignity, he's talking about a woman dressing in such a way that she's not intentionally trying to draw attention to herself. That's Christian character. I do want to say this. I know you know this, but I just want to say this. He is not in any way in this passage, nor is there anything else in the Word of God that would suggest that what we ought to take from this is that women should not care how they appear. This is not an argument for dressing in as plain a fashion as you can. You know, burlap sack. The attention's not on me. Well, guess what? You dress in a burlap sack, the attention will be on you. In fact, it's just the opposite. When you talk about order, design, beauty, purpose, that means you do take care with how you look. It's a proper testimony that you should care. Not only what your appearance says about your relationship with God, but even what your appearance says about your relationship with your husband, if you're a married woman. So he's not arguing that we don't take care with our appearance, but rather that our appearance speaks of godly character, which gets to the next thing he says in verse 9. He says, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty. And then he uses an interesting word. He says, in self-control. And the idea literally there is sober or sound judgment. Sound judgment. Fashion is always changing, isn't it? Just look back to a yearbook in the 1970s, and you will be reminded that what is cool and on the cutting edge doesn't last very long. So as styles change in a culture, there's nothing wrong with as long as it is what we're talking about tonight. It's not opposite of godly character. It's orderly. It is appropriate. There's nothing wrong with staying modern and current, but realize something, that as fashions change, there will be things that are presented as fashionable that do not represent sound judgment. Whether it's from the standpoint of that which might be sexually suggestive, or whether it's simply from the standpoint of what we're talking about tonight, something that would just flat out draw attention to you. And so a godly woman, along with being well-ordered in her attire, she's also asking, would the wearing of this represent sound judgment? Does this reflect thinking that's in keeping with salvation? In fact, this word translated self-control, it's a compound word, and one aspect of the word comes from the word that we get salvation from. And so the idea is judgment that is sound, judgment that's in keeping with salvation. So principle number one, Christian women think Christianly about how they dress. Principle number two then is, not only do we just sort of generally think about it, but Christian women then actually take care with their appearance. They're asking the Lord, they're looking at the Word of God, they're thinking in terms of wisdom, and they realize it is my personal responsibility to dress in a way that speaks of godliness. And so I want my appearance to be orderly and beautiful, and I want it to speak of my character as a woman who loves the Lord. Dignified appearance, wise restraint, sound judgment. Leads to a third principle. And that is Christian women must dress from the inside out. You notice what he says there in verse 10. Well, let's go on to verse 9. Let's read through verse 9 again. Likewise also that the women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. He makes very clear that specifically what women are thinking about as they, Christian women, as they get dressed, is they're thinking about, does this accord with godliness? So first, I'm thinking about my walk with God. I'm thinking about my heart condition. I'm thinking about my character. And so a Christian woman dresses from the inside out in the sense that she thinks first about what God sees before she thinks about what everybody else sees. And the focus of godliness, right, ladies? A woman who literally promises godliness is the idea. You profess a commitment to godliness. Well, then you realize this, what is most precious in the sight of God is not what you put on in terms of your external clothing. What is most precious to God is what is going on in your character, in your walk with Him. He teaches us about this in some negative terms. This is what is not what you're focused on. He says braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. And I didn't take time tonight to include a bunch of quotes, which I could have, from writers around the time period that Paul wrote, where we have some idea of of the dress of women in Roman times, but I can tell you this, that many times a woman would display her wealth through the braiding of hair. She would literally weave throughout her hair jewelry. It's like, you know, you can imagine showing up for church and the woman sitting in front of you has her jewelry box on her head, so to speak, all interwoven through there. So she would be definitely dressing to display her wealth in that case. He even mentions here, doesn't he, costly attire? Because poverty was widespread, and you can imagine a situation where the majority of the people in the church are very poor, and then in comes a woman who is, and not many people were wealthy, and in comes this woman whose wealth is displayed in her attire. Is that the purpose for worship? Is that why you come to worship, to show everyone how much you possess? That wouldn't be the right motive, would it? Nor to display self. So if you engage in all these, it's not that braiding hair is inherently evil. It's not that wearing jewelry is inherently evil. That's not what he's talking about. It's the motive that stands behind it and what you're aiming at as you do this. So you don't try to display your wealth, and you don't try to display yourself, and you certainly don't try to attract sensually. If you're a married woman, you're a married woman. And so you're certainly not wanting to attract anyone else. You're married. But let me say a word to the single ladies here tonight, our young single women. Listen, you do not come to church to find a boy. That's not your purpose for coming to church. You ought to set your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be, if you profess godliness, if you're a young Christian woman, then you come to church to worship your God. And in the course of time, as you follow the Lord, if it's God's will for you, and certainly I'm sure it is your desire and our desire, what God will do is lead someone into your life who comes to church to worship God too. And so you'll meet someone who will love you for a lifetime because he loves God. I tell my kids all the time, do you know what I pray for you when I think about someone for you to marry? I pray for someone who loves God. Don't get me wrong, I want them to love you, but I know this, if they love God, they'll always love you. And if they don't love the Lord, there may come a day they don't love you either. It's our relationship with the Lord that makes any of us trustworthy. It's God's grace. And you are no more vulnerable in your life than you are in the area of marriage. We see it sometimes, don't we? Someone who wants to please the Lord in their marriage, someone who wants to remain married, and then all of a sudden the person they are married to doesn't want to be in that relationship any longer, and the person who wants to honor God at that moment suddenly discovers there are things they have no control over. And we can't promise any guarantees, but we can say this. Set your sight on the Lord and ask Him for someone who loves Him, and you'll be on the right track. You violate God's will in that area, and you begin to want to attract someone based upon how you look instead of love for God and Christian character. And you're already appealing to someone on a foundation that is no foundation at all. The Bible says charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But the woman who loves the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, I thank God, and every husband ought to believe this, I believe my wife is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. But I'm going to tell you this, what would happen if we were in a car wreck tomorrow? And her external features were marred forever. I thank God that I have a wife who loves Him. And what is most beautiful to me about my wife is not how she looks on the outside. It's who she is in her walk with God. And every one of us, what we are on the, young people, listen to me. What you are on the outside, you may think you're going to retain your youth forever. But if the Lord tarries and you live, you're going to be old and wrinkly too. Let me just tell you. Yes, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. It's love for God that matters most. So not to display wealth, that's not why you dress the way you do. Not to display self, not to attract sensually. Now he says here, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, verse 10, with good works. You want to dress up for church? Then ask yourself, are there good works there? Is your life saying something about your relationship with God? Thomas Constable, commenting on this, he says this, these terms stress not so much the absence of sexual suggestiveness, though it's included, but rather an appearance that is simple, moderate, judicious, and free from ostentation. The specifics Paul mentioned, braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, are not wrong in themselves, but become inappropriate when they indicate misplaced values. Are your values right? Are you aiming at good works? Notice this is not the end of that discussion in 1 Timothy. Look over to chapter 5. And notice that when a woman gets to the closer to the end of her life, and if she's widowed, when the church had an official role of widows, when the church would supply financially for widows indeed, do you know that there were still qualifications for that? And notice what the qualifications were. 1 Timothy 5, look at verse 9. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, so she had to be at least 60, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for what? Good works. What kind of good works? Notice, if she's brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, which is to say she's a servant, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. You see, that's a widow indeed. Ladies, can I ask you this? The time you take to prepare how you look externally, do you take as much time, do you take as much care every day in the examination of your spiritual condition? Right? We stand in front of a mirror, we make sure the clothes are right, the hair is right, the makeup's right, before we'd ever go out and meet the world, but do we make sure our heart is right? Look over to 1 Peter 3 again. I want us to be reminded of what we saw this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing. But let your adorning, this is what we mean by dressing from the inside out, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. I love this. With the imperishable beauty. Here's a beauty that will never pass away. The imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. You see, a biblical, godly kind of femininity Isn't it a sad thing what our culture is trying to do with women? We're trying to make women men. No, he says. Gentle, quiet spirit, and here's the most important part, which in God's sight is very precious. But this is how the holy women who hoped in God. You see, this is the kind of woman who cares about this, a holy woman, a woman whose faith is in God. This is how they used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good. You see, this is good. No matter what the culture tells you, this is good. And do not fear anything that is frightening, because as you begin to consider what this life really means, sometimes it can be a frightening thought. And what God is saying there is, listen, you just trust me. Just care about what is precious in my sight. I'll take care of you, and he will. So we have three principles, don't we? Christian women ought to think Christianly about how they dress. You ought to give it consideration. Second, as you give consideration, you have to take care. All right, now let me apply what I'm thinking about. Let me apply it in the way that I dress each day, and let me apply it in the way that I come for worship. And what I'm applying is this: I want to dress from the inside out. I want my external appearance to reflect what is precious in the sight of God, and that is godly character. Godly character will not be a desire to display my wealth, and godly character will not be a desire to display myself, and godly character will not be a desire to attract someone else sensually. None of that represents godliness. I finish tonight with some questions. First of all, Christian women, moms, daughters here tonight who profess to know Jesus, have you been giving thought to your dress? Have you been thinking about it? Second, I would ask you, is your attire consistent with your profession? According to these verses, if you are a Christian, ladies, what are you professing? What are you professing? Godliness. Does your attire say that you are pursuing godliness? Third, ladies, I want to ask you this. Are you teaching modesty to your daughters? Where has God designed that younger women learn these kinds of truths from? Titus, right? What does Titus tell us? That the older women are to teach the younger women these things. And if you ask, where will older women teach younger women these things? Obviously in the church. But the first place it ought to begin is in the home. So mom, are you taking the time from the earliest of ages to teach your girls what it means to dress like this, to think like this? Young women, I want to ask you this. Are you listening to your mom? Are you listening? If you have a godly mother and she is striving to guide you in this kind of way, then you are a foolish young woman to turn a deaf ear to your godly mother and to listen to the culture instead. Are you listening to your mother? For all of us, I would ask, when we think about teaching people this sort of thing, are we aiming first at the heart? Because isn't that really the issue? If someone doesn't care about godliness, will they care about the sermon tonight? You see, the real issue is not a new wardrobe. The issue is a new heart. And where there's a heart set on Christ, we will care about the message that we send in every way that we send the message. Are we aiming at the hearts of people? You see, as we learn these things, I don't want us to become, the bruised and bleeding Pharisees who closed their eyes anytime a woman walked by and ended up walking into walls. I don't want us to become a church full of legalists who measure each other constantly and condemn each other constantly. I want us to realize the need is godliness, but where does that begin? It begins in the heart. That's where the focus needs to start. Then finally, husbands, men, where are you at in all of this? Are you encouraging your wife? Listen, if your wife does take care in these areas, do you praise her for that? Do you recognize the gift that she is to you? If you have a godly wife, my friend, you did not achieve that on your own. She is God's gift to you. And she ought to be praised by you, and you ought to be thankful for her. Do you tell her that? Do you tell her that you love her because you see Christ in her? And you're thankful for God's grace to you by His work in her. And dads, I do want to talk to you about our daughters. Because even though mom ought to be teaching these things to her girls, you as the head of your house, when you have little girls that are at home, we have responsibility for how our girls walk outside our door to meet the world. How they walk out our door to meet the world, how they walk out our door to meet the church. And so I want to encourage us as godly men not to be disobedient and not to be lax and not to confuse laxity with love. I want us to strive with all that we are and all that we have to teach our children that what is most important is what God sees. And He looks at the heart. And may the outside match the inside. And all God's people would say, amen. Let's bow together for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for the truth. Your word is truth. I pray that we would take the things we've seen tonight as we, to the extent that we've been faithful to what you say, may we hear this tonight as the word of God and respond as we should. I pray for anyone here tonight, Lord, who has not had it in their heart to honor you in these areas, Lord, I pray that they would examine their very salvation. For Lord, if we know you, we want to please you. So Lord, increase our desire to be people who please you in all our ways. We ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.